Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. 10 Democratic presidential candidates debate. We've got the story.
Deadly drugs are being introduced in the Wichita area. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Industrial accident results in a man's death in southwest Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. The Central County Commission took up a zoning change request. I'll have that story coming up.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Ann Holliday. As one system moves out this morning, another colder system will move in later on tonight and overnight with a chance of light rain and snow. How much could we expect? Our complete forecast is coming up.
The 2020 Democratic presidential hopefuls debated again Wednesday night, where plans to enact widespread single-payer health coverage were discussed.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren took a lot of heat from fellow Democrats about her health care plan, but she wouldn't back down when asked about it on the MSNBC Washington Post debate.
And in the first 100 days, I want to bring in 135 million people into Medicare for all at no cost to them.
But the idea is not popular, especially since Warren herself said it will cost tens of trillions of taxpayer dollars. Joe Biden thinks it's politically dead.
It couldn't pass the United States Senate right now with Democrats. It couldn't pass the House.
In Atlanta, Eben Brown, Fox News.
It's day five of public hearings in the Ukraine inquiry.
David Holmes and aide to diplomat Bill Taylor is on the docket, along with Russia expert Dr. Fiona Hill. Holmes told lawmakers he overheard President Trump ask European Union Ambassador Gordon Sondland about investigating the Bidens. Under sworn testimony, Sondland said he doesn't clearly remember that call.
I do not recall mentioning the Bidens. That did not enter my mind. It was Burisma in 2016 elections.
Sondland said there was a quid pro quo at the direction of President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, as the new leader of Ukraine tried to secure a meeting with the president. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
A warning has been issued from the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office about deadly drugs appearing on the streets in Wichita.
Sheriff Jeff Easter says his deputies are finding what appears to be oxycodone pills. But after testing, they discovered the pills contain fentanyl, a potentially deadly synthetic drug. The sheriff says the number of cases are growing.
We have a case where there was about 1,000 of these pills that were introduced here into Wichita, and that's just one individual.
Sheriff Easter says if you come across tiny blue pills with the letter M and the number 30, seal them in a plastic bag as soon as you can and handle them as little as possible. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Wichita police say a 35-year-old man died after an accident at a construction equipment plant in southwest Wichita. Police spokesman Kevin Wheeler says the man was injured early yesterday when he was working on machinery at Case New Holland Construction. That victim identified as Andrew Taylor.
An injured woman showed up at a convenience store at Broadway and Kellogg in downtown Wichita.
A 31-year-old female had arrived at the Quick Trip and reported being stabbed multiple times. She was transported to an area hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. A lack of cooperation at this time has affected our investigators receiving all the information of what occurred.
Police Officer Charlie Davidson says this happened around 3:45 Wednesday morning.
The Sedgwick County Commission heard a request for a zoning change in the southeast part of the county.
The proposed zoning designation would change the 3.78 acres of land near 159th Street East in Pawnee from single-family to office warehouse. The applicant planned to construct a building to store rock material for his landscaping business. Four people spoke against the proposal. Some of the commissioners said they did not have enough information to act, but Chairman David Dennis disagreed.
Planning staff does a great job, and they send out notices to every single person within the notification zone ahead of time. Every person had an opportunity to come and speak.
The commission voted 4-1 to send the proposal back to the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission, who previously approved the zone change. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
KNSS News time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Interesting result from the Shocker women's basketball road game last night. We'll have highlights coming up in sports.
A unique approach to smuggling does not outsmart U.S. Border Patrol. That story on the way on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. What's going on and what more can we do? There's a citywide community event this weekend in Wichita, sponsored by local criminal justice leaders. Police Officer Charlie Davidson tells KNSS News.
You know, the criminal justice system is a very large system, if you will, and can be difficult to navigate sometimes. And so this is an opportunity for the community to come, sit down, have one-on-one conversations with these criminal justice leaders.
The event is free Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Wichita State University Metroplex, 29th and Woodlawn.
A unique approach to smuggling does not outsmart U.S. Border Patrol.
He was stopped with two large duffel bags, a remote-controlled car, and 55 pounds of methamphetamine. Border Patrol agents near San Diego busting a 16-year-old kid on drug smuggling charges. Agents believe the boy had a partner on the Mexican side who repeatedly loaded that remote-controlled vehicle with drugs as he drove it back and forth through a gap in the bollard-style fence. It all went down near the Otay Mesa port of entry. The meth has an estimated street value of $106,000, the boy being held in juvenile detention. Kevin Battle, Fox News.
The president later today will award prestigious medals to a well-known American actor, a singer, and a writer.
Among the artists being honored by the president today for their contributions to the arts or the humanities, Oscar-winning actor John Voight, singer and musician Alison Krauss, mystery writer James Patterson, and philanthropist Sharon Percy Rockefeller each will receive the National Medal of the Arts. The National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities solicit candidates for the medals and compile proposed winners. These are among the first recipients of prestigious national medals since President Trump took office. At the White House, John Decker, Fox News.
One hotel is spreading holiday cheer with a suite fit for an elf.
New York City's Club Wyndham Midtown 45, promoting a suite inspired by the holiday classic Elf, starring Will Ferrell.
Santa here? I know him.
Guests can sleep under paper snowflakes, a gift wrap mural wall, the fridge stocked with candy, candy canes, candy corn, and maple syrup.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups.
The hotel, working with Warner Brothers to recreate the film's magic. A stay starts at $399 a night and includes four tickets to the Empire State Building. Guests can stay from December 2nd through the 20th. Club Wyndham Vacation Club members can stay the 21st to the 26th. Booking kicks off November 25th. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
The KNSS Morning News with Stephen Ted, now 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We have a stalled out vehicle causing a traffic hazard. This is northbound on I-135, and it's right around K-96. We've had several problems there at the North Junction this morning, so in this northbound I-135 at K-96, watch for a slowdown. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. After getting some rain across south-central Kansas yesterday, we will be breezy and cooler with a high near 40. As a colder air mass moves in tonight, some light rain and or snow is possible. We could see from a dusting up to about an inch of slushy snow by Friday morning, our low near 30, and on Friday, our high 39. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now a cloudy sky, north wind gusting to 31 miles per hour and 42 degrees. 8:11 now, Steve and Ted. Here on KNSS, and of course, we've been covering in our news this morning, the Democratic debate. 10 candidates on the stage in Atlanta, Georgia last night. With us now to talk about that, Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
These are so, from a reporter standpoint, these are so hard to cover. What sound bites do you use? Who said the biggest thing? You've probably got some pretty good ideas on who said the most important stuff or what we think is most interesting. Evan, share with us, who scored points last night and who didn't?
That's hard to tell. I think perhaps some of the more interesting points or one of the most interesting things is that the first question out of the gate had to do with impeachment, which really, for the Democrats, isn't a debate topic. I mean, there wasn't one person on the stage last night who says, you know, I think we ought to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt. Let the voters decide.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. So there was no really way for two or more candidates to debate one another on this. So it just became like a soundbite opportunity for everyone to dunk on the president. We kind of expected that. throughout the rest of the evening. I mean, you know, a lot of them argued their points on certain things and took each other to task. In the case of Elizabeth Warren pitching her Medicare for All program, Joe Biden took her to task, saying there's no way to really pay for this. There's no way to get it from Congress. That was a policy debate. Then Kamala Harris basically called Tulsi Gabbard a party traitor because she goes on Fox News. That was a personal attack. And, you know, we had a couple of those. So, that was, you know, when you're not the front runner or maybe the top two or three people, you start doing things on stage to get yourself noticed. But in certain cases, it was noticeable to me that the structure of the debate really favored the already predicted front runners because Tulsi Gabbard didn't get a question until 20 plus minutes into this.
Wow.
Andrew Yang and Tom Steyer weren't heard for the first 30 minutes. But in that time, plenty of face and mic time for Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg and Cory Booker. When some of these candidates say they're being frozen out, there may be some truth to that.
It seemed obvious, huh? Well, listen, they did.
I can say that because this was an MSNBC debate.
Yeah. Well, it was, and you know, that's interesting because I don't know if I'd have been one of those people on the lower rung. I might have did a Ronald Reagan. Hey, I paid for this microphone, or you know, I'm here. You know, come on, pay some attention to me. But they apparently didn't do that.
Well, yeah, you know, they didn't. But I mean, they've been making that point themselves for a while now, so it may not have been that much of a shock that they didn't get as much time.
Well, and obviously, no new earth-shaking ideas have come out anything new or interesting, or just the same stuff going over again as we had?
I think more of the same. I think the only thing that was interesting, there were fewer candidates on stage. Normally we've had 12. This was 10. Julian Castro didn't even qualify this time. The next debate in December in Los Angeles is supposed to, I believe, have even fewer candidates on stage. So they're trying to narrow this down and winnow the field. Come the first week of February, we've got the Iowa caucuses, and that's where things really get real, and some candidates won't survive that.
And running outside all of this, possibly, not official I don't think yet, is former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg, who could be swinging in there and doing a completely different kind of campaign than these others.
Well, totally. Look, Michael Bloomberg is a very wealthy man, and he doesn't need to worry about some of these early showings because he's not needing to build fundraising momentum. A lot of this is done to keep visible, to keep people interested in you, so they start contributing to you, and you're able to continue a fundraising cycle through all of these benchmarks and you know, way stations that we call debates and primaries. When you're Michael Bloomberg and you can afford to drop hundreds of millions or whatever it is on your own campaign, that fundraising isn't so important. So you don't need to worry about spending time or effort on these early debates, and you don't even need to really worry about spending time in states like Iowa and New Hampshire, which, let's face it, electorally, mm-hmm. at the Electoral College, they're inconsequential.
Right.
You know, it may just be a waste of time, if not for the fact that, you know, people who need money need to keep themselves public. So he's already filed in a number of states, including Texas, which a big electoral prize is Texas. But he hasn't officially declared himself to be a candidate. And I assume he'll probably do that at the end of the, you know, early next year at some point.
All right, Evan, thank you for your help this morning. Appreciate your coverage. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown on the Democratic debate last night in Atlanta. I have to get this down to, you know, three or four people there on stage and maybe winnow it down to a few topics. That was interesting. The non-front runners kind of iced out of everything for a half hour, didn't even get a chance. Yeah, that's terrible. All right, 8:17 now, Steve and Ted. And Ted, this is the anniversary. This is the 21st of November. This mm-hmm. is the anniversary of what is it still the biggest television show ever seen? 83 million people in 1980. Tuned in to see the CBS primetime soap opera Dallas to find out who shot JR. Or was it
the big revelation?
Yeah. Larry Hagman, of course, playing J.R. Ewing with about 15 different suspects who was going to shoot
him. One of the, one of the most watched TV shows of all time.
When I was a young man, when they the conclusion of the series The Fugitive.
That is still one of the most watched events of all
they
time.
They finally found one-armed man.
That was more than 70 million watched that.
That series just kept you going because you had this man who is falsely accused of killing his wife, and everybody's for him. Okay, nobody's for the police on this thing, and he's being chased across the country trying to find the killer. That was a great series, but then you had this one with this Dallas series where everybody in the series was immoral and corrupt, and of course we loved
Not Miss Ellie.
Miss Ellie was not good. Miss Ellie was Barbara Bel Geddes, one of the great actresses.
Yes.
Yeah. Who had been in, what was it? She was in, what was the one with Jimmy Stewart?
Vertigo.
She was in Vertigo. Yeah. Right. So anyway, 83 million people tuned in that night.
Yeah, of course, the MASH finale is
up
there.
Yeah. All right.
And these are, of course, non-Super Bowls. There are many Super Bowls.
Super Bowls,
but we're talking TV shows, actually.
Right.
Non-sporting events that have drawn bigger audiences.
Who shot JR? Well, it was his sister.
The Seinfeld finale.
Yeah. Played by Kristen Shepard. I saw that one, the Seinfeld finale. All right, 8:18 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It's sports time with Ted Woodward. The Shocker women playing basketball on the road last night, right, Ted?
Yeah, a very interesting result. The Shockers were on the road, taking on a 2-0 Louisiana Tech team. And, boy, the Shockers, I don't know what the pregame speech was or the ride down on the bus, but, boy, the Shocks were ready to roll last night. Never trailed in this one. Built up a 33-point lead early in the second half. And they didn't win by 33. The Lady Texters with a furious comeback late. But Shockers were able to hold on and win this game. Big win for the Shocks on the road. Steve Strain had the call of the game last night on Sports Radio KFH.
Baseline, leaves it for Raven Prince. Raven drives and lays it up and good. She caught it just inside the free throw line, took a couple dribbles, took it up strong, and Prince the lay-in.
Shocks get the win 88-80. Seraphine Baston with a career-high 20 points. She also had 8 rebounds. Shocks pick up their first road win of the season, and they've got back-to-back wins now after that big road win last night. We've got action tonight over on Sports Radio KFH. Thursday night football in the NFL. The Indianapolis Colts are in Houston taking on the Texans. As of now, both teams would be in the playoffs, but first place is on the line. They're both tied for first. So, big game tonight. Texans are 3.5-point favorite. Texans-Colts at 7 o'clock tonight over on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. Prior to the football game, we'll still talk football on the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show. Play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, at 6 o'clock tonight over on Sports Radio KFH. A lot of good topics for the Chiefs, including they're still in first place. They have a bye week coming up. And, of course, coming off the big trip to Mexico, I'm sure there will be lots of good stories tonight about the Mexican trip from the Chiefs on the Chiefs Kingdom Show tonight, 6 o'clock over on KFH. Pro basketball in the NBA last night. The Toronto Raptors at home beat the Orlando Magic 113-97. Starting lineup for the Raptors, former Shocker point guard Fred VanVleet, 24 points, 7 assists already this season. Fred has 5 20-point games. We're not even at Thanksgiving yet. Really helping the Raptors. Back-to-back wins for Toronto. The Raptors have not lost at home yet this season. 6-0 on home court. In men's basketball, Neumann University beat Cameron last night in West Wichita, 65-57. The Neumann men are on a 4-game winning streak right now, and they are unbeaten at home. And a happy birthday today to a guy that is the answer to a trivia question. Who made the first field goal in Super Bowl history? Mike Mercer. Kansas City Chiefs. He made the only field goal in Super Bowl I, and that was the only year he played for the Chiefs. But he made it all the way to the Super Bowl, and he's the answer to a nice trivia question there. Mike Mercer's birthday today. He is 84 years old. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
8:21 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean looks at Congress and Ukraine. That's coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
And at all, always at this time on Thursday mornings, let's talk Chiefs football, sponsored by Superior Rent Equipment Rental.
It's time for a Minute with Mitt.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.